Good morning. I'm glad everybody came. I'm excited. My name is Leanne. I am a compulsive eater, and I have the privilege of introducing someone who has been in the rooms of our program for many years. They're getting older, and I asked World Service if I was able to break their anonymity. Henry does not care if his anonymity is broken. So with that, I'm glad you're with us. Can we start with a moment of quiet, and we'll say our serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. Like I said, my name is Leanne. I've taken notes. I've known Henry for a long time. But I didn't know as much about him as he was able to give to me. And so it was wonderful to be able to find out more about him. And when I'm finished here, Jan will add to that. And also Barbara. So when we're finished presenting Henry, then you will have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments. Okay? So forgive me for my notes, but I don't want to miss anything because I believe that it's a very important thing. Henry was born on May 2nd of 37. And he was born in South Carolina. They moved to Ohio shortly after he was born, and he had Presbyterian minister as a father. When Henry was 16, he was nominated to West Point, and he graduated in 57, fourth in his class. He taught at West Point for 1 year, and he worked as a military engineer. He married his wife Helen on Christmas Eve of 57, and that produced four daughters and a son. He worked as an engineer, and he supervised a lot of things that probably you're familiar with. He worked up in Washington and Oregon on the rivers up there. He worked on the seawall in Houston. He worked up in New York and around the Great Lakes. And when he was in California working, it became very clear to him that he needed to start writing a book. So he decided he had to do this. This was a calling that he had. And when he was up at the Great Lakes the following year, after doing a lot of research, it was a very snowy, cold winter. And so he was inside a lot of the time, and that's when he started to write about the findings of his research. They finished the project, and that was in, my dates I'm not familiar with. Okay, that was in 69, I'm sorry. And then he published that book. It was published and he had 1,000 copies, and most of them were distributed to his friends and people who asked for them. And very shortly after that, it was republished, and he also paid for that. And that was 4,000 copies. So they continued to work with the military, and Unfortunately, his wife died, and so he continued working, but he fell in love again and he remarried. Now, his wife Helen died in 95, and on April 30th of 01, he was rewarded for 44 years of service, and he was promoted to Brigadier General 2 years later, or 2 days later. He retired because he wanted to remarry, and he did. His book finally became a family thing, and he loved his daughter-in-law, and so he entrusted her to take care of all of the rights and everything from his book that he had written. And he, when they retired, they moved up to Oswego, New York. And the one thing I think I failed to mention is this was in 1837, and Henry passed away on May 11th of 1923. Now, how did Henry come into our rooms? Why is Henry in our rooms? Well, you see, he wrote this pamphlet, and this pamphlet was only 15 pages long, and the name of the pamphlet was Manual of Rules of Order for Arbitrary Assemblies. He went to a meeting at a church in San Francisco when he was in California, and they asked him to be the leader, and he lost control of the meeting. He went to a city hall meeting in Oswego, New York, and it was a 17-hour argument, and he vowed he would never lead another meeting until he had some order to that meeting. And he traveled. He went to the Parliament in England, and this was in the 1800s, and he got the information, and that's what he wrote that first book on. It is the most published book that has ever been really written, other than our Bible, of course. But if you think about it, the second printing was a book, and it was 4,000 copies, and they sold for 75 cents a copy. And that was in 1876, February 18th. And by May of 76, right? He had to republish another one because it had sold out. Since then, there have been 21 printings by 1892, and more than 140,000 have been sold. He is buried in Arlington Cemetery in the third section. And after doing extensive research and writing after traveling, you know, his manuscripts became books. And to date, there are 21 printings by 92. There are currently 11 editions available. And you know that that is all done due to Henry. His name, as you might know, is Henry Martin with a Y, Robert. And now the secret is out. How many times how many, many times have you been in a meeting where Robert has been present? How many, many times have you had questions about how to do it? It's all in the books. And we're here to help you learn the very basics so that when you go to a meeting after the meeting where they have their business meetings, you'll be able to handle that and you'll know the procedure. We have handouts that we're going to give to you, and you'll be welcome to take them with you and use them. They'll fit in any book you want to carry. They'll fit in your purse easily, in your pocket. Barbara will give you some of the basics. Jan's going to fill in on the others. And then we'd like your experience with Henry and how you've used it. You know, Henry's our friend. He's not our enemy. Henry is a person that knew there was a need, and even at that time of year or years back, he was able to go and get that information and assemble it. And there are so many, many things, you know, that have been solved because of Henry. He's made an impact on me. He's made an impact on the people in here, I am sure. And we want to get to know him a little bit better today. And I'm so glad you're here. And with that, I'll turn it over to Barbara.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Barbara Compulsive Eater. I hope okay with you. I'm going to give you a little personal background, how I got attached to Robert's Rules. I really think it's my higher power, because a few years ago in Arizona, we started our intergroup, and all of a sudden we had meetings and I was the chair, and I didn't know these Robert's Rules, so I had to buckle down, and of course I really didn't. I procrastinate with service. So my friends kind of helped me, and now I'm a chairperson of Area 2, so I really have to buckle down and learn these Robert's Rules. So I think my higher power whispered to Leanne to get this workshop together on Robert's Rules and make Barbara participate so she'll start to learn these. But it is very interesting and amazing that this Henry was with us so long ago, and thank goodness he did develop these Robert's Rules. So it does help us with our democracy. It helps us to keep order. And I don't know about you, but give me order, and I'm a happy camper. So in starting with our own CEA How, I'm guessing you are going to continue with service. And if you do become a chairperson of an intergroup or beyond, it will help if you have more familiarity with these Robert's Rules. And I have found in even at taking minutes, the more familiar the secretary is with Robert's Rules, she can proceed more accurately. So our Robert's Rules are assuming that we have an agenda for a meeting. And I love our agendas. We always start with the Serenity Prayer, which helps me. And then we will have a roll call. And that roll call is set, well, we take attendance of our representatives. But it also helps us to establish a quorum. And that quorum will determine, when we take the vote, that will determine if the vote will pass or not. Now that quorum will be defined in the bylaws. And some areas, some intergroups have a different definition of a quorum. It could be two-thirds. It could be a number of the board members. It can be different, so you do have to check with the bylaws to see what does establish the quorum. And then we'll follow the secretary's, the minutes from the previous meeting, which these minutes, of course, they are important. And the minutes And the treasurer's report will be approved. We'll ask if there are any changes, but there's generally not a discussion about those. Those are, if there, there might be changes, but they will be approved and then seconded. And in establishing changes to the rules, and this is how this Henry has really helped us. And this is, okay, I'm just going to walk down here. I thought I would have people hold these up, but when we are trying to change our rules, the first step is someone has to present a motion. And no motion can get, we can't proceed with any motion until it's seconded. So the motion has to be seconded. And a way that I like to think about this is just asking your friend, do you want to go to lunch? And if she says yes, you've had the motion and it's been seconded. And then we can figure out the next step. Where are we going? How are we going to get there? And of course, for me, I know what I'm eating. All right. If the motion's presented and seconded, then we have the discussion. Sometimes the chair, oh, let me back up to the chair of the meeting. The chairperson, I like to think of a chair here, the chair. The chair does not vote when we get to the vote, unless we need a tiebreaker. So, and the chair's responsibility is to keep order and to make sure everything is clear. And I think that takes somewhat of a detailed personality. We can't race. I know I would want to race over things and let's get done and let's get out of here. That doesn't work so well. The discussion, if you want to ask for three pros, three cons, you can. Sometimes there's no discussion. Sometimes we go right into the vote. So we have a discussion. Where are we going to lunch? How are we going to get there? And then we take the vote. And according to bylaws, you will know how to, where you need to be with the vote, if it needs to be two-thirds. Sometimes in our World Conference business meeting, we actually raise hands and they go around the room and we say, how did we do it? But we number off as we're voting. So we know that number that has approved. Sometimes it's just a voice vote, depending on the group and the chair and how they wish to take the vote. And finally, there could be trouble. There could be an amendment. And it could be considered a friendly amendment or a hostile amendment, two different ways to look at it. If it's a friendly amendment, which means the person that made that first motion, if they accept the amendment, you can just proceed and it will be more or less like a new motion. If they don't accept it, the chair then has to just deal with the amendment and go from there. And then, I want you to see all these so you can kind of get this procedure in your mind. But if the amendment comes up, then we have to start over with a motion to accept, a second, discussion, and vote. And then we take care of that, and then we go back to that first motion. So that is a, in general, overview. A lot of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this procedure. It was pointed out to me, and I'm thinking of our younger generations, our high school students, college students. If they are lucky enough to become involved in an organization that utilizes Robert's Rules, they can get the grasp of this at that point. And, you know, makes me proud of CEA how, of course, we are a wonderful, worthy organization, and we follow in. And I think what I'm saying is I wish I had grasped this whole concept sooner. Took me a long time, and of course I don't know all the details yet at this point. We do have two handouts, which we will be passing out, which will give you much more of the vocabulary and the detail. It can get sticky. There can be more than one amendment to an amendment, and it can get complicated. And I love our CEA how, because I have not seen this yet, but apparently when the discussion got complicated, they did take a break and said the Serenity Prayer, and somehow that brought us back to a secure vote. Just a couple other thoughts here. There is a term that I like called call the question, which means end the debate and take the vote. So sometimes we all would like to see that happen. The chair can table a motion if it looks like that would be the best way to go, and that does take a motion, and it takes a seconded. That motion needs to be seconded. I think the most important part is one item at a time. And of course that seems easy to accept. It comes back to our program. Things go. This is not a time for multitasking, which never really worked. And I think that is my part here. I'm going to turn this over to Jan, and she's going to give you a little more information. And then, as I say, we have two handouts. And if some of you would like to come up and add to your, we'd love to know your experiences, how you became involved, what you see that works, what doesn't work. And I'd just like to end up, like to get a pitch in for service. Maybe you will think about what might be your next service opportunity in our program. I know it can get scary or threatening, but it is a challenge. It does seem to keep my program lively. And after being a delegate at the World Service, it absolutely amazed me to see this whole process in action, to see how it really works. It really does keep order. Everyone, both sides of the issue, has a chance to voice their opinion, and just a testimony to our wonderful program. So I will turn this over to Jan. Oh, she's coming down.
Yeah, I can't sit. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hey, thanks for being here. What a gift this is, this whole convention. It's interesting because when we first started talking about doing this workshop, I'm like, yeah, I really like Robert's Rules. I've had a lot of experience with it, you know, and well, you know, so what's to present? And it's like, okay. where I first started understanding Robert's Rules, I've been in program of over 14 years and been involved in service after the first 3 months. So I started going to intergroup meetings. I was an intergroup rep and continued as an intergroup rep forever until I went on the board. And at that point, we're not allowed to be involved in anything above the meeting, our own meeting level, to avoid conflict of interest. But we started with intergroup meetings, and they were like, okay, that's okay, and I didn't really pay any attention to it. And then we had business meetings after our regular meeting, and I didn't pay any attention to that. It's like, okay, you know, everything went smoothly. And then I started as an area rep. I went from an intergroup rep, I became an area rep. And I'm giving a real plug for service too, because service keeps me abstinent. Absolutely. If I don't do service, I struggle. And when I do service, sometimes it's a matter of, well, I have this obligation, I'm committed to do this, I'm accountable for this, and so I better not slip. So it keeps me on track. My sponsees keep me on track, okay, because I have sponsees who are committed and do service, and you know, all my sponsees do service, and it's just an amazing thing. So anyhow, I came to my, I don't know how many years ago, probably 9-10 years ago, I came to my first World Service Business Conference as a delegate. And at that time, I was so impressed. I can even remember the room I was in. I can remember where I was sitting. I remember who was sitting where, and who said what, and not specifically, but who was talking, and how the chair kept order. And every once in a while, she'd turn to our parliamentarian, which is really a necessary person especially a group this size, and that person would clarify, is this the next step in this process? And we are following a simplified version of Robert's Rules, but we are sticking to Robert's Rules. And sometimes, depending on what the discussion is, what the subject is, who's there, who's for and who's against, it can get a pretty active discussions. But because of that, we avoid everyone yelling, oh, I want this, or I want that, or hey, I have to get up and say something, or whatever. And it keeps order. And with a group this, any group really, 10 people, 100 people, you have to have order in order to accomplish anything. And so I was just really impressed on how that worked, especially when we're talking about 100, well, there were usually, the most I think delegates I ever saw at a business conference was like 50. And that's a lot. We only had 31 this time, but that's okay. You know, we're working on that. But it was enough to represent the fellowship, and this is why we do it. We're the fellowship. And we make decisions so that the fellowship can follow our traditions, can follow the concepts, can follow the basic direction of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous to keep us all where we need to be. And so nobody changes anything arbitrarily. Everything you see in your Forever Abstinent book was put there by a consensus of delegates in an orderly fashion at a business conference. Everything there, any minor changes that happen, that's where they come from. If you have an idea, say you have your Forever Abstinent and you're thinking, why isn't this here? Or this would be better if it were this. And it can be anything from measurements to type of food to general rules. You know, our best one there is, when in doubt, leave it out. And so, I don't think anybody's going to want to change that. And if they are, they don't belong here. Because that's one of our cardinal rules. And weighing and measuring, of course I'm going to weigh and measure. But there's questions. There, 2 years ago, there was a question about one of the fruits on the list. And someone started researching that. And they're like, why is this a fruit? Why isn't it a vegetable? And they started researching the nutritional value. And fruits generally are fruits because they have natural sugars in them. This one doesn't have any sugar. But when we normally prepare it, people prepared it with other fruits that have a lot. And so they decided, hey, this would be a great vegetable. And so it went through the process, and they proposed a motion that be changed to a vegetable. And we discussed it in an orderly fashion. And they proposed why it should be, and we had open discussion. Well, not really open, very orderly discussion. And it passed. It passed. It's now a vegetable. And that's how that kind of thing happens. You know, I've proposed a few changes myself, and the general consensus didn't like it, and that's okay. I accept that. And since the theme of our convention is acceptance, it's okay. That's part of my recovery, is acceptance. Okay, got to give everybody a plug here. Okay. Now, where this comes into us, today, you have your business meetings, after your meetings, you have intergroup meetings, and we all apply some form of Robert's Rules. And if we didn't, we wouldn't be able to function effectively. Whenever we start, every meeting is supposed to start with an agenda. And where does the agenda come from? It comes from the chair. And anyone can add things to the agenda. So it's everybody's ideas put together, but it's in an orderly fashion. And that's the thing, it's order. That's why it's called Robert's Rules of Order. And I had a hard time with that before I came into program and was really exposed to it, because I didn't come from a background where I went to a lot of meetings or anything. But we're all here, and today, and it's like the concepts. I can apply this to every area of my life. I can apply this to every area, almost every area of my life. You know, it takes a couple of people, though, more than two, I think, because you get a stalemate if you have two. Just walk into my house and you'll see. Okay, so I just accept and I go on my way and do what I need to do. Okay, when we talk about making a decision, what we're going to do is kind of put this in everyday terms so that you can understand. Let me back up a little bit. The World Service Business Conference is this on a much larger scale. And I've really, really learned what to expect now because they follow Robert's Rules. And we're going to try to adapt that to an everyday situation, an everyday chaotic situation. So I've arranged for, I do need two other people. I need a person who wants to be a child, who wants a kitty. Anybody like cats? This is very impromptu. Okay, and I need somebody who wants a puppy. Jean, okay. And I have my parents. I have my two parents and my third child. Okay, you want to put either have chairs to sit in groups or just stand in groups? Okay, I need the three kids together. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's great.
I thought it was a puppy, but no, I'm not a puppy now.
Well, you're going to be the kid with the puppy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, somebody has to, okay, you're a puppy, you want kitty or puppy? I want three kids.
Oh, okay.
Okay, then you want a puppy?
Uh-huh.
Okay, okay. Are we doing mom and dad? Okay, okay. One of you wants one and one doesn't want anything or wants the other thing? Nothing, okay, okay. And guess who I am? I'm Grandma! Yes. And my name actually in my house, in my grandkids' house, is Grandma Kitty. So you know where I'm going with this. So no, I am the impartial moderator. I am the chair. And okay, everybody's going to at one time express your feelings to each other.
Poop, they
pee, hey, you guys. Hey, you guys.
I promise. I'll feed it. I'll walk it. I'll do everything, Mommy.
No, you all say that, and then you go to work, and you go to school, and I'm left with the whole mess of it. No.
Well, you need someone to be with you while you're gone. He's a good companion.
I have plenty of friends. I don't need a dog.
Mommy, a cat does not have to go outside. It just goes in the...
Hey, guys, you woke me up from my nap. Enough of this yelling. I don't know what you're all yelling about, but why don't you tell me what you're yelling about?
Grandma, I want a puppy.
I want a cat.
No, I want a puppy.
Grandma.
Puppy.
Okay. And Mom, how do you feel about this?
I feel like I've been blindsided. I didn't even know this was on the table.
Okay. Dad?
Well,
Hun, I just think we really need a dog to protect our family. It's really important.
Okay.
To protect people.
Okay.
Our children.
And my opinion, okay, guys. I would like to call this meeting. I'm calling this meeting to order.
Grandma Cat.
Okay, now, I'm calling it to order, which means no one speaks unless spoken to or given the permission to speak, okay? Those are the ground rules. Okay, now, the reason we're here is to discuss if and which animal we might get. Okay, do I have a motion to move forward with any of this?
Grandma, can I make a motion?
Go ahead, you can make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we discuss having pets. Preferably a cat.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go with a cat, or animals. Having an animal. Okay, that'll be our first motion. Who's in favor of that?
I am.
Okay, we have a second. Thank you. Okay, we're going to have discussion, three pros and three cons. And since there's only five people, well, that's okay. Okay, who's in favor of having an animal? Yes. One of you can speak.
A puppy can huddle outside in the backyard. You don't need this gross cat box inside where they pee and poop.
Okay, getting a puppy is another issue. We're talking about just having an animal in the house because mom doesn't want any animals at all. So this is the motion. Do we want an animal in the house?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's your pro. Okay, who's against having an animal in the house?
Oh, me. And since I birthed them, I get three votes, right?
that's good. Okay. Okay, and what is your reasoning for not having an animal?
Three or one?
One at a time.
One. First reason is the expense. We have to get them ready for school and scout camp. Wait, are you in scouts? We just don't have money for vet bills and doctor bills. I mean, vet bills and food and supplies.
Okay. Who would like to have an animal in the house? Who else? Another pro.
I would like to have a pet in the house, Mom. We need company. We need to be able to cuddle sometimes. I love you, Dad. I want you to agree. It's a cat.
Okay.
I think it's important for Gene to get a job. So she can have a job throwing newspaper and have the responsibility of the animal and the responsibility of earning money.
Okay. Now, what we're talking about is having just having an animal in the house.
I'm trying to argue my point.
Oh.
Took it to the next level.
Yeah. So we have to stick to the question on the floor, the motion on the floor. Okay, we had another pro for having an animal, did we not? Okay, we need another reason not to have an animal.
They poop and pee on the house. I can't handle it.
Okay.
I don't know if cats do, I've never had a cat, dogs do.
Okay. Another pro for having an animal?
Well, the third one is because with having a puppy or a dog, it teaches that, any animal, it teaches a child how to take care of another and something else besides or whatever they're doing, and it gives them responsibility.
Good. Okay. And there is another reason?
I'm kind of changing my mind. I think I have no more arguments.
Okay. Now, that was the three pros and three cons. Three pros and three cons have been given. That was the end of our discussion. And now I'm going to call the question. Okay, and that means we've had all of this, unless someone has an amendment that they would like to present, a change in the original amendment. you know, or we can move on and have another motion later, you know, for what kind of animal. But this would be the initial part of the process. So now I'm going to call the question, which means we're going to vote. And we'll vote for by a raise of hands. And majority rules, because I said so. It depends on your organization, what your guidelines are, whether it's majority and whether it's... now, for us in World Service, we do two-thirds quorum. We have a quorum of two-thirds. And we need at least that many votes to pass a motion. When we're doing an amendment, I believe it's just majority, which means more than 51% or better. And who's in favor of having an animal as a pet? Who's opposed? Okay, motion passes. We're in favor of getting an animal. And then, not to...
Can I make an amendment?
Okay, this would be a new motion now.
A new motion? If the pet is not taken care of, then we will have to find the pet another home.
Now, that would be an issue that you'd have to discuss as a family. You know, that would be ground rules. But in the actual decision-making process, okay, this is what we're doing, is making a decision as a family. And I am being impartial on paper. No. Grandma Kitty. Yeah. In fact, on Tuesday, I'm picking up two new adopted kitties. So that's just an example of how this process can be applied to other areas of your lives, of your interaction with others. It works. You know, you have to follow, and you can take it. I mean, I found even this kind of process works when I'm with my kids and their families. You know, I can be the grandma, and I can be the disinterested third party. And I can kind of be a mediator, but not tell anyone what to do. I can be a guide, just like I'm a guide in this program. And I want to thank our players. And can we? Thank you so much, ladies. And I apologize because we didn't introduce ourselves there. That's basically what we're doing with Robert's Rules, you know, why it's so important to have it. When you go to your area meetings, you'll find the same processes going on. Don't be afraid to come to, you know, you can even come to a business conference and be a spectator if you're not a delegate. And you can sit and watch it in action. It's really quite inspiring. And then you might say, hey, I want to do this next year. So there are abstinent requirements to go beyond your meeting level. For all levels, that you know, you have to. There's certain requirements, but that's so that you have the background and the experience in the program that you can get more from that and be contribute even more. So on that, I'm going to turn the mic back over if I get untangled to Leanne, and I'm going to pass out some handouts too. So thank you all.
Okay. We will be open to questions at this time, and we will also be open to comments. There is a sheet that you must fill out before you speak so that it gives you permission. And we have up here, you can sign it. And if there it is. Okay, great. So if you want to speak, go ahead and sign it and pass it to somebody else who wants to, and that way we can keep the ball moving. If you have any comments, that's fine. Please feel free. You know, we're all here to learn, and we all are willing to learn today, and that's the beauty of this program. So who would like to be first? Yes, please do. Yeah, right over here. And someone else like to be second? Then go ahead and line up and sign your name. And be sure to speak into the microphone so that everybody can hear you.
I am a member of a board that goes by Robert's Rules. My name is Laura. I'm a compulsive eater. There's a topic that's come up over and over. One thing I really like is that I believe I heard it's really a guideline that should be in the bylaws. Anyway, so this person has made a motion about it. The motion was never seconded, and we still hear about it at each meeting, and we say it's a dead issue. And we're told, no, it's not a dead issue because it was never seconded. Any feedback there? And maybe I should give a little more input on the motion, and that would decide whether or not it's bylaws or it's a motion is a decision-making idea, and guidelines are bylaws. Do I have that right?
Okay. Does anyone in the audience want to answer the question? According to Robert's rules, if you do not get a second, it is dead.
Okay.
Okay.
Any comment on the bylaws versus the...
Well, it depends on how your organization runs, I believe.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
Bryce.
Hello, I'm Bryce, compulsive overeater. What was the question? I didn't really expect to be here this quick.
No. The question that she asked was a motion was made but never seconded. Is it a dead issue?
Where I come from, it is.
Yes.
But I might say that I was taught a lot, did a lot of service, did a lot of Robert's Rules of Order. Then we, for years, went to knowledge-based decision-making. So I've got all kinds of respect for Robert's Rules of Order and happy to be back where we use it more. So if there's no more further questions, I'm happy to step away, Miss. Thank you.
Thanks, Bryce.
Hi, Leanne. I'm Deborah.
Hi,
I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you so much for this workshop. It's really helpful. My question is, I've heard back people come back from conference and we'll have a business meeting at one of our, you know, just regular meetings, and a fellow will say, I make a motion to present this, and someone will second it. And I've heard back, you don't need to make a motion for that, and it just stops everything. And I wonder if you can speak to us about that, where I could maybe read more about that. And I'd never heard that before.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.
Anybody from the audience care to answer that question? I believe if you're following Robert's rules, you follow Robert's rules. That is my belief, you know? If they don't choose to follow Robert's rules in your business meeting, then you have no recourse.
It is a group that is that believes in following, you know, the Robert's rules, and so someone makes a motion, someone seconds it.
Yes.
And so if someone comes and says, you don't have to make a motion to that, we don't really know what to say.
Well, the motion has been made and seconded at that point.
Okay.
And you follow through.
All right. Thank you, Leanne.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Anybody have a comment? Yes, please. Yes, go ahead, honey.
Good morning.
Go ahead. I was gonna say, what about...
We can't hear you. You have to sign and come up after her.
It's my understanding that the person who makes the motion can withdraw it.
That's correct.
Okay. I didn't hear that.
My name is Gail, and I am the, good morning, everyone. My name is Gail. I'm a compulsive eater from Tyler, Texas. And I volunteered to do service as the business leader, and I didn't know what I was doing. And the agenda is the program that we have, that's considered the agenda, the program that we take off of the See How program. That's our agenda, correct?
Whatever your meeting has set up as their agenda, yes.
Okay. And I'm really thankful that a lot of people have come through and they call me and they say, Gail, this is what we have to do. So even though I'm very nervous, they're coming through and our business meetings are, so I'm doing the third business meeting Monday. And so I'm just thankful to everyone for pitching in, because I have no idea what I'm doing, but now I know that I'm following Robert's Rules of Orders. I just never connected it, so thank you.
And thank you for giving so much service and being willing to learn.
Hello, I'm Cheryl from California.
Hi, Cheryl.
And my question is it appropriate to have a discussion and a vote during the middle of a meeting? I always thought that it was done after the meeting. I mean, this is like a regular meeting, then all of a sudden someone wants to put an issue out there and discuss and vote on it. They wanted to change the meeting from a speaker to a different type of meeting, and they voted. So I just want to.
Are you speaking about a CEHOW meeting, or are you speaking about a meeting in general?
This is a CEHOW meeting.
Correct me if I'm wrong, please, but I believe that we have business meetings, and you give 2 weeks notice and announce it for 2 weeks, and you have a business meeting, and that is where you bring those suggestions.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. So I just have a question about the idea that an issue is dead. So you present a motion, nobody seconds it, and the issue is dead. My question is, does that mean you can never make a motion about it again?
No.
Okay, so it's dead, but somebody could say, I want to bring it up again, can we have a business meeting, and blah, 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 right?
You can bring it up again at another meeting, or if you rewrite the motion, you can represent it.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? I have a question. For instance, this just came up in a meeting, we had a business meeting. Big book meeting, read the first 164, read the whole book. Okay, so we voted about a year ago to just do the first 164 over and over again. Then someone again, 4 months later, was like, no, I want to have another business meeting to discuss reading the whole book again. And we're like, okay. Would that be a rescind where you'd need 2/3 to rescind the original vote if it was voted that we want to do the 164? I mean, or do you just... Is it just depend on the meeting, but if this vote has been decided and it's re-being, would you need the majority for it to be shifted and changed again? Because this comes up in a lot of LA meetings.
I am not sure about that,
right.
But it would be my belief that you wouldn't have to do 2/3. It would just be another revote.
Okay.
And if people have changed their mind,
right.
If they haven't, it won't pass.
Right. And then the rescind would be for what? The call to rescind the 2/3.
Well,
does that ever change if we're revoting on things?
I'm not.
Because intergroup just comes up with a lot of things that we voted on, and then they come up again later, and there's a reason.
They can always come up later.
Okay.
If you don't like the vote, you can always come up at another meeting and vote on it later.
Okay.
Not in the same meeting necessarily.
Right.
But
okay. Perfect.
Okay.
That would be a rescind then, right?
That's what it says here, to change the results of a vote.
Is 2/3 on Robert's Rules.
In that meeting that day.
Oh.
Got it.
Okay.
As far as the whether you have 2/3 or a majority or whatever, if you have anything from the intergroup level up has bylaws, and that should be defined in your bylaws. And bylaws should be available for anyone to look at. And whoever is the chair of the group should be familiar with them too, but that should be spelled out somewhere in your bylaws. And in my personal experience in my groups, we've all agreed majority rules. And so that's kind of an informal agreement, but that's what we do for group conscience.
Hi everybody, I'm Brendan, a grateful compulsive eater. My question is, I just want to know where we ended up with that whole cat-dog situation. No, I'd love to hear your answer because you're getting up to the microphone. But I seriously want to just thank the three of you for your service, first of all. But also, like, we all know that Robert's Rules exist. So in meetings, I feel like it's sort of bandied about as just sort of, you know, people kind of throw it into non-business meeting situations. So I would love to hear people's experience, strength, and hope about, you know, if I'm just on a meeting level and I just say, I make a motion to X, Y, and Z, I think that's a lot of the times it's that same meeting Deborah goes to, where people will argue about whether or not we need a motion to it. And is it out of order to even do that when you're not in a business meeting?
I believe it is out of order because you are not in a business meeting. You're just in a meeting of the program.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
That's why you have 2 weeks of notification before you have your business meeting, and at that time it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
How do you then, I just got a confusion because I was seeing group conscience as separate from board meetings because we need minority opinion, we need things that are not part of Robert's Rules. So I saw it different if it's a group conscience as opposed to a business meeting. And I just thought that needed some clarification.
No, that is a difference.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions? I have one. How many people came to meet Henry? How many people would have come to a workshop on Robert's Rules? How many people are glad they came to meet Henry instead? Thank you. You know, it's been a pleasure. And with that, I have a quote from Henry that I'd like to give you, and I also have something that I believe we can close with. And so let me get this here because this was, to me, a priceless thing. All right. Henry, later in life, or later on after reprinting his book and rewriting it many times, donated his profits to medical missions and never took another profit from his books. Okay? And there were 21 printings as of 92. He once refused payment for college lectures, saying, I have had all the compensation I expect or desire in the consciousness that I have done what I could do to stimulate the students to study the Bible. A man who knows anything is in debt to those who are less fortunate, and he can only pay the debt back by imparting the knowledge. In other words, pay it forward. Okay, also, I want to end with this. If a vote were to be held to declare Henry Martin Robert the person with the most influence on meetings, without a doubt, the motion would be carried. And with that, if you'd like to join hands, we'll say our serenity prayer. Thanks, everybody.
Work and your work.